You're listening to Season 3 of On Our Best Behavior. This is Kelly, and I just wanted to thank you for your continued support. You can also support us by going to the link in any of our bios and subscribing to our link tree. You can also purchase an On Our Best Behavior sticker for $5. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to On Our Best Behavior. I'm Matt. Okay, I messed up, but you're here with Mac and Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I've actually missed you a lot because you were at your dad's this weekend, and that always makes me sad. Oh, it's Paisy. Hey, Paisy. Oh. Paisy the podcast bunny in the house.
He looked at you and he was like,
oh, why is there so many people in my room? So anyway, what's new? What you got going on?
Absolutely nothing. I'm kidding. All right. Well, there's this thing that happened at school. I don't know.
Ooh, if Justin told it to you or not. No, this is the first time I'm hearing it. I'm kind of excited.
What day was it? It was like Wednesday. Some kid got his ass beat outside of school.
Shut up.
Like when we were getting bussed at the end of the day.
Why?
I don't know. They were like trash talking each other, and they just got like. They just got really mad or something.
Did somebody get beat up bad?
Yeah, it was like an eighth grader and a ninth grader.
Oh, so was it on the bus? Because
no, it was like outside of her. Outside
of her school?
Outside of where all the buses are.
But why would an eighth grader be on the high school property?
I don't know. Oh, okay. There was though. I don't know. But
who started the fight? The eighth grader? Did he like get off the bus? Yeah. Like, I'm going to beat this kid's ass?
No, they were just like. Trash talking. I don't know why.
You don't know anything. Do you know who the kids were?
No.
Oh. Who stopped the fight?
No one really. The police got there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, there was like 7 cop cars or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What else was I going to ask you about that? I don't know. Okay, I left
Uh-oh,
me.
Oh, you're selling.
Just kidding. It was probably not important. I'm sure the answer would be, I don't know.
Nah, I probably wouldn't be, actually.
Oh, this is what I was going to say. I was going to say, did you videotape it? Because last time you videotaped something, then you got suspended.
No, I didn't.
Yo!
What?
Don't
put your finger in my mouth.
I was trying to show you.
Yeah,
I know. Talk to the mic.
Yeah, I know. No, I didn't.
You know, and when I was younger, people would be like, talk to the hand because the face don't want to hear it. And I'm telling you, talk to the mic. Otherwise, no one can hear it.
Get out of here. I'm kidding. What's going on with you today?
Oh, you want to know what's going on with me? Well, funny you should ask. Number one, my iCloud storage is always full.
Really?
And I don't know.
This is where we get on to date. No, I'm kidding.
If somebody knows how to empty your cloud storage, that would be helpful because it says I have a ton of storage on my phone.
It's
but
your
then
pictures.
It doesn't want. I know, but I've deleted so many things and videos, and it still constantly is like, your phone can't be backed up. You don't have any storage. But then I go into the settings, and I have a ton of storage. But it's
I know.
My,
it does
the
that
cloud.
To me too.
I don't know what the
cloud is just like.
The cloud's annoying.
I don't know. I think cloud just like the pictures and stuff.
Well, the cloud, I think everything automatically goes to this cloud, but I don't necessarily care about that. So I don't want it to go to the cloud, and I don't know how to clear out. I need to clear out my cloud.
Tyson was in the litter box again.
How do you know?
He was in here before we started. He was eating the poop.
Ah, so gross.
You just cleaned it up for us.
All right. So let me tell you highlights from my week.
All right. Lock in.
This weekend, we had a pasta, paint, and wine night.
Wait.
With my girlfriends.
Tuesday, brother.
Including Emily, Jen, and Patrick.
Didn't you say you were going to paint something
in
the kitchen again? What is that again?
No, I was going to paint in the kitchen, but I didn't. Let me tell you, I'm getting there. Did you look to see if it was different?
Yeah, and it
wasn't.
Didn't look different.
It's not different. I was going to paint the kitchen cabinets, but the paint that I was going to go buy wasn't in stock anywhere. So I have to order it because it's a special paint that
so
just adheres.
I need to do it this weekend.
So I'll tell you my project that I worked on this weekend.
All right.
Because I couldn't paint. I am still going to order that, but it's on my list. Okay. Right. So it was pretty nice outside this weekend.
Yeah, it was.
So I spent a lot of time outside. I moved my little love seat sofa into the sun and I just sat out there listened to my book, and the dogs played. So that was really nice. And I
found a new product that I tried this week.
All right.
And I'm really excited about it. I don't know if you know this about me, but I love to take my vitamins and I love to take supplements. I'm a big enthusiast about that.
Uh-huh.
And when I have gone on vacation at times, like I'm like, I'm not going to pack all my vitamins and supplements because I don't need to take them. And then I always regret that because I really notice a difference in how I feel when I take my vitamins versus when I don't take them. Do you notice that? Because a lot of times, like on the weekends, you don't take vitamins, but on the weekdays, you do. Do you notice like a difference in how vitamins make you feel?
Mm-mm.
No? Mm-mm. You feel the same no matter what?
No, I just have, I'm just a little crazier and I'm a little more active. There's no other, but I'm only like that because I have to go to school in the week. So like that poops me out. So I'm not really active.
Yeah.
I don't have really any energy.
Do you feel like you sleep better when you take your vitamins?
No.
At night versus on the weekends?
No.
No, you don't.
It's just basically how much I slept in the day or like how much sleep I got.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I get it. I feel like when I was younger, I didn't notice either. But now that I've gotten older, I definitely probably need some extra help. But anyway.
Are you locked in?
I'm locked in. Good. I discovered this new supplement and it's called Magic Mind. And the number one thing that I like about it is I can, you know, if you know anything about me, the thing that I look forward to every day is my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I need that. It really gives me the joy in life. And I honestly don't really come to life until I have my coffee. And what I like about Magic Mind is that if I have more than one cup of coffee or if I have like any kind of caffeine after my coffee, it makes me feel like jittery and shaky and it's just too much.
So you can't have two coffees?
Yeah. I get too like dehydrated feeling. Excuse me. And so what I like about Magic, and then also when I have my one cup of coffee after lunchtime, like I just feel like I could go to sleep. I'm ready for a nap and I'm like carb comaed out and I just kind of tank. But when I've been taking Magic Mind, I feel like that gives me the endurance and like sustains me for the rest of the day so I don't get home and feel exhausted and I'm not after lunch feeling exhausted and I'm not coming home and feeling like I need a nap. So that's really been giving me that little extra push that I need. It has been making me more focused and more mentally stable and I'm not procrastinating things. I'm not feeling like I need a nap, so I'm not wasting time out of my day.
All right.
What about you? You have ADHD. You've been doing the Magic Mind shots.
Yeah, I think like it does make my energy higher, and I feel like it does help with not wanting to take a nap. And I just don't feel as tired, I feel like. So yeah, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, so it's good. And I am going to like throw out there that it's not my favorite flavor. I feel like I am more of a coffee drinker. I was really hoping, have you ever had those Naked smoothies? They're so good.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you do. They're those little smoothies and They do have a green machine, but I usually get you the berry ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, I was really hoping it was going to taste like that. Mm. But it does have more of a green tea matcha flavor, which isn't my favorite flavor in the world. But I've definitely had way worse things. It's definitely easy enough to get down for the benefits that it provides.
All right.
So if you're ready to give Magic Mind a chance, you can go to magicmind.com and you can put in promo code BESTBEHAVIOR20 for 20% off your first order.
Did I have anything else? Oh, yes. I did have more I wanted to tell you. Do you see my phone? I lost it.
And I think it fell.
It has all... Oh, you're right. Here it is. It has all my notes in it. Things I want to talk to you about. So I didn't paint the cupboards, but what I did do is I worked on what I want to do for our patio, and I am making a backyard pool setup.
What?
So I got myself a pool. I ordered it.
Like, what do you mean? Like
a 6-foot pool.
Okay.
Not huge, you know, around. Enough to cool down in. And then I'm going to get a little beach umbrella for over there and two like little chairs and a table and kind of just create a little outdoor oasis.
All right.
Because I want to spend a lot of time outside this summer. And then I also got a little screened-in room for my sofa so that when the bugs are bad or if it's a little drizzly out, I can still be outside.
All right.
I also super love to drink my coffee in my magic mind shot outside. Out on the patio every morning. Like, that is my favorite thing to do. So, I am on my way. I also, like, found a rug that I want out there. So, one of these is supposed to be really nice next weekend, and you're going to be home. So, maybe you can help me, like, clean up the patio. Maybe we can pressure wash off the patio and get it all cleaned up. And so, when that stuff starts coming, we can start getting it set up.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I also read a lot this week.
Really?
And I can't find anything good to watch on TV. I've really been struggling with finding a good show.
Really?
So if you have a good show recommendation that's new, because I think I've watched all the old stuff, hit up your girl, because I'm looking for a show. I love true crime. I did watch that Quiet on the Set, which is about the Nickelodeon kids and how they were mistreated. And that was terrible, but not exciting, but like intriguing to watch, but made me feel so terrible for what those kids have gone through. So I had taken a break from selling my plasma, but I got back on that horse.
Oh, yeah.
Made some money this week doing that. So that was good to get a little more extra money in my pocket. But that's, other than that, that's all I did.
Nice.
And this week, we'll talk about it later, but I do have City of Anoka meeting this week, so I'm excited to do that again and see what's been going on. Otherwise, today we have a very special guest.
All right.
Do you want to know who it is?
Who is it?
It's my very good friend, Melissa, and we talked to her before from the North Shore Explorer, but today she's going to talk to us about an autoimmune disease, lupus, and kind of her journey with getting diagnosed with lupus and things that she's changed in her lifestyle to make her life quality better. So, without further ado, let's welcome Melissa to the show.
All right.
You're listening to another episode of On Our Best Behavior, and today I have my dear friend returning to the show, Melissa. You might remember her from the North Shore episode, but today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We are going to talk about lupus, which is an autoimmune illness, and it is an illness that occurs when the immune system attacks healthy tissues and organs. So Melissa is going to kind of tell us about her journey with lupus and give us some insight on this condition. Hi, Melissa. Welcome back.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to share my experience with autoimmune disease because it is a topic that so many people can relate to. And even if you have not been diagnosed with autoimmune disease, you know, there's still a lot of parallels with just weird, crazy symptoms that happen.
So how has your daily routine changed since you've been diagnosed with lupus? How did you find out you had lupus? Like, what was that journey like?
Yeah, well, starting from the beginning, so I was diagnosed when I was 32 years old. And so it's been about 13 or 14 years for me. And, you know, it was, for me, the way this came up is like I had symptoms that were coming on, you know, kind of just one by one. And you know, and like you try to diagnose like what each one of these symptoms are, but you can't,
right?
You know, until they all kind of add up. So, for me, it started with Raynaud's phenomenon or Raynaud's disease. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Yes. But it's, yes. It's, isn't it like a circulation disease? And like a lot of times people get like the blue or the white fingertips and the toes and you like lose sensation or feeling.
Yeah. So it typically happens in your fingers and your toes where they get very, very, very cold and painful. And it does not take a lot for it to get there. And so it's actually not a circulation issue. It is an issue with the blood vessels actually collapsing.
Oh, okay.
So you are like not, and then your fingertips turn white and then they turn blue and all of this stuff. And it's very, very painful. And it's really hard to function like that, especially when you live in northern Minnesota or when you want to hold a cold beverage.
Yay for canned koozies.
Right. Yes, exactly. But I have experienced Raynaud's almost my whole life. I'm not from northern Minnesota. I'm from Maryland, which is not a particularly cold climate. But like if I was going to go skiing or if I was going to be outside, I would always have to like worry about this. And then, you know, as I aged and stuff and also living in a colder climate, it really became like almost debilitating for me. So I was researching, like my doctor was like, oh yeah, it's just Raynaud's. People get it. It happens. There's really nothing you can do about it. Do-do-do. Okay. So, you know, I was researching, you know, what is this? And it said that, yes, it can just happen on its own just because it is kind of like a phenomenon that can happen in your body, or it can be a like side effect or symptom of an autoimmune disease like lupus. And of course, I'm like, oh, that's not me. I don't have lupus. Blah, you know. So then I just continued to live with this. And then I got like, I don't know. It seems like it almost all kind of hit at once. But I had so much pain, like especially in my shoulders. So much pain. Like I couldn't even. No, I said it came on all at once. And I don't mean that. But I'll go back. It started with this like severe pain in my shoulders and like, it was, I can't even describe how it was, but it was almost like, I couldn't even like move my shoulder or my arm. I just didn't really have any function. And I was like, it feels like I can't raise my arm. And it's like, it feels like my arm forgot how to like function.
You didn't have like any range of motion, right?
Just, you know, weird. Yeah, like not a normal range of motion. And then that whole feeling kind of spread across my whole body where I was just, my whole body was just in such pain. And like, I couldn't even get into the bathtub, you know, like I would have to like lift my leg with my hand to like put it in the bathtub. And like, it was awful. So I did obviously go to the doctor. And the first doctor I went to, you know, I live in just a very small rural community. So we just have like a family clinic here. And the doctor that I saw was actually very, very good. And he said, you know, I think you might have rheumatoid arthritis. So they took they took some blood work and stuff like that. And then I just got referred to a rheumatologist in the big city of Duluth, Minnesota. And from there, that rheumatologist diagnosed me with lupus, and that is because my blood test came back positive for the A1A antibody, and that is the indicator of lupus.
So how do you feel now? You get this diagnosis because you're like, oh, I don't have lupus. And now you do have lupus. So what does that feel like?
Well, you know, just going back to those early days, because I really think this is something that people can probably really relate to if they've experienced this. But your life completely changes. Like your grief, like my body does not function. I have an illness. Like I am now, like I am sick.
Yeah.
I am 32 years old. I have I don't remember how old my son was at the time. He was young, probably 5. You know, I have a 5-year-old son. I work full time. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. And I am sick and I cannot function. And like, that is devastating. I mean, like you're grieving. Like I spent so much time just grieving. Like my life is never going to be the same again.
Right.
You know, I don't know what my outlook is. I don't, you know, you're just all in this unknown territory and you're sick and you're tired and, you know, all this stuff. So, but I got put on some medications. So I did a course of prednisone, which is a steroid, commonly used for these types of things, which is really just a temporary type of medication, it's supposed to be. And I got put on a Plaquenil, and then a couple of other medications and stuff. And then I started doing like all kinds of therapies, like chiropractic and massage and acupuncture and, you know, all of this, because not only is it just you're having these bodily symptoms, but, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, mentally as well. Right.
You have to accept like this is your new identity. And that's, like you said, that's devastating because that's not who you want to be.
Right. And you would never expect that, you know, especially as a young person, you know, with like you're busy and your whole life is in front of you and you never expected this. And it was just, yeah, you really go through like this grieving process, you know, and then your family has to make adjustments and, you know, just all of that. You know, but I just, you know, and then it has, I can't remember every single detail, you know, because like I said, it's been about 13 or 14 years, but just like the, you know, continuing on my journey, you know, like I said, I was doing all kinds of therapies and this and that, which really did seem to help. And then one thing is all these alternative therapies that I mentioned, you know, I think they benefited me a lot. I still do them. I do regular massage and chiropractic. I don't do acupuncture anymore, but I learned so much from those practitioners, and they gave me so much like physical and mental and emotional support that was incredible. I mean, to have these people helping me and supporting me and teaching me was amazing.
Did you do any kind of like mental therapy or counseling?
You know, not really. No, I didn't. I suppose I probably could have, but I was already spending all my money on these other things. So.
Right. There's only so many directions you can throw it, right? Before you run out.
Yes, exactly. But you know what? These things and these, they were my support system. And that was mentally and emotionally helping me, you know, as well. But anyway, so moving on down the line, you know, it does end up being a roller coaster where it's like, oh, you feel good. And then you go back and then you feel good. And then, oh, okay, those symptoms are gone. And now I have like these other weird symptoms, you know, so like other things, like when I was feeling better, you know, for example, I would get like my wrist would hurt so bad that I could not use my hand. I could not wipe my butt. Okay.
Yeah. Let's be real and transparent.
But I mean, like these are like, you can't function. Like I can't open a jar. I have no grip. I have no, and it was so painful and there's no like diagnosis for it, you know? And then, cause it wasn't an injury. It wasn't, you know, so like, all of these, like, and then, like, skin symptoms, like, really itchy spots, you know, it's not eczema, it's not what, the other thing was headaches, really bad headaches, and I'm not a migraine sufferer, but I would get these headaches, I mean, that were, like, migraines, you know, like, you cannot function. It's like the worst thing in the absolute world. And then the first time it happened to me, I mean, I'm talking for like days and weeks at a time. Like, so I went to the hospital, you know, they ran some tests, they put me on an IV and like fluid and that. And they're like, you do not have a clinical migraine. We don't know what this is. The best thing we can say is that, you know, you can go home. Rest, whatever. I mean, there's like nothing anybody can do for you, you know, and you kind of have to figure it out. That's then, and these, and I did see some of those alternative therapies for, you know, my headaches. Like I had some cranial sacral work done and all of that. I'm going to come back to the headaches, but I muddled through that for like a couple of months. I mean, to a point where like I was at work. And I was just so fatigued, and chronic fatigue for me was another really bad symptom. And until you experience chronic fatigue,
you have no idea what tired is until, yeah, yeah. You think you're tired now.
Yeah, no, you're not tired. Like, you are so exhausted. You are depleted. There is no gas in the tank. There is nothing you can do. And then what exacerbates it is this pain and that pain and all of the pain. And it just, it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. So if anybody listening out there is experiencing any of this, I just want you to know that it's real. You are validated. And even if the doctors look at you and say, we don't know what's wrong with you, there's nothing wrong with you. No, there is something wrong with you. And we'll learn more as we go on my journey here. But anyway, digressing, let's see. I would be in my office. Like, I could not make it through the day. Like, I would have to lay down several times a day. Like, I had a pillow and a blanket, and I would, like, lay down on the floor and close the door. And, like, I cannot tell you, like, what a struggle it was to even make it through the day. So, and then I was taking some medications, like Dabapentin for nerve pain and some muscle relaxers, and you know, I was also taking, like, this big time NSAID pain reliever, like an Advil type of pain reliever, called Atodolac, that starts with an E, which is an amazing medication. And actually, that resolved a lot of my pain. I never ever took any narcotic painkillers or, you know, anything at all like that. So anyway, all of these medications and, anyway, so again, then you end up getting better, not all the way, but you're functional and, you know, but you like, you're always having to, like, really plan your day and really only plan to do the things that you absolutely must do. You know,
yeah,
so
that's why I was going to ask you, like, how are you getting through your days? You said you have a young kid at home, you're working full time, you're doing all the things, right? You're doing the American dream with, like you said, you're depleted of everything, plus you're in pain and you're hurting. How do you survive that?
You know, looking back, I'm amazed at myself. I mean, you just do it, you know.
Survival,
you know,
mode.
And then it's difficult. It's very difficult. But and on top of that, you end up sacrificing so much. You know, like, I remember I would be like, you know, like, the place where I worked, you know, they had, you know, like a nightclub and, like, fun stuff and, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, I can't do any of that. Like, I can't stay out late. I can't drink alcohol. I can't, like, spend all of this energy to, like, go have fun. In fact, I can't even be around loud music and a lot of people because that sucks everything out. Like, I have nothing, facilities to even deal with. So I'm like, I'm not having fun. I'm, you know, but if I did want to do that, I would have to really, really plan, you know? So it's like, okay, I want to go see this band with my friends. And, you know, it starts at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. So then I would have to, like, start planning, like, a couple days in advance and make sure that I'm getting my rest and, you know, like, I'm all saved up.
Right. I was just going to say, it's almost that, like, you're banking up your energy. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yes, it sucks. It really sucks. And it was just sad. I mean, that's, you know, so anyway, so there's that. And then even if you don't want to, like, go out and party, I mean, if you just want to, like, go, like, my son is an alpine ski racer. So, like, preparing to be able to be outside on a cold day watching him ski, traveling to and from, you know, it's like, until you have chronic fatigue, you don't realize, like, until you can't do these things, you just take so much for granted.
Well, yeah, like wiping your butt when you go to the bathroom. Like, who would have thought?
Right, exactly. Like, I have to learn how to use my left hand, or I have to do this and then just be in pain, or, you know, it's just crazy. But so anyway, now, so this whole journey, you know, was kind of like that. up and down and side to side and all of this. And then, so here now, we fast forward to about 2020, and it was like right around the, like the beginning of the COVID pandemic. You know, I had a new symptom, which, well, a couple new symptoms. One was very, very severe dry eye. Like so dry and so painful, like there's sand in my eyelids. I cannot even open my eyes. I have to ice my eyes multiple times a day. All of this craziness. And meanwhile, I have these gut symptoms that are happening to me. Okay. And so back to those headaches that I was talking about. Now, when I would have these headache episodes that would last for days and days and days and days, it would peak at a time, like it would peak to a point where I would like be throwing up and just completely nauseous. And like, it's just, it's so bad. And, but I'm not, I knew that like I wasn't sick or I didn't have like a stomach bug or food poisoning. I like, I, it just, I knew it was all kind of associated with this, but I had no idea what it was. No doctor could say what it was, any of that. And that would happen. Sometimes it would happen frequently and then it would be more spaced out. But like, I would have these episodes that would put me out for like a day or two or three, because then you have to recover from that whole thing. And so, you know, that was happening. And then also, like, speaking to the gut symptoms, mine were things like I have no appetite. Like, I know I need to eat something, but I just cannot think of anything that I like could stomach or want to put in my mouth or that would seem good or that I just want to have in my body. And what was
my
other one?
When you were pregnant, did you have severe like hyperemesis or anything like that? Because it almost sounds like your symptoms are somebody who is pregnant who is like so severely sick, like they need fluids to even stay afloat. I mean, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it could be. I did not experience that in my pregnancy. I had like, I had a very, very easy pregnancy. But yeah, I mean, I suppose the symptoms could be similar for sure. But yeah, like I just had no appetite and just like an icky feeling and, you know, it just, it was not right. So then I was talking to my doctor about it. Like, so, you know, so I scheduled a visit to talk about this and they actually recommended me to, or referred me to, like a set of doctors. So I go to Essentia Health in Duluth, Minnesota, and they have a department called, oh my gosh, why can't I think of it now?
Is it like internal medicine?
Integrative health.
Oh, okay. It's, integrative. Yeah. Okay.
Integrative health. And it's, that's what they call it anyway, but it's also functional medicine, functional doctors, where they actually work to get to the root of the problem. Like, let's fix the problem. And that is what I'm all about. Like, let's get this problem fixed. So, that doctor, and actually it wasn't, there's a doctor in the program there, but I was seeing one of the nurse practitioners. So I did some tests and especially like a stool sample and things like that. And I was diagnosed with leaky gut. So are that's you familiar like, with that's
like, so that's a new diagnosis. So now you have Raynaud's phenomenon. Now you have lupus, and now you have leaky gut. So it's not all the same thing. It's three different things that you're suffering from now.
Yes, except leaky gut is what causes all of this autoimmune stuff.
Okay,
because
so it's the root of the problem that you're kind of trying to find.
That That is the root of the problem. And so my alternative health practitioners have been telling me for years and years, like especially my chiropractor who loves functional medicine and all of that is like, and he had tried to put me on diets before and all this kind of stuff. And I tried it and it didn't work and blah, 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 blah. And it's very, very hard to change your diet, especially when you're sick. And so,
right, because nothing sounds good already. You're trying to get in whatever your body will even tolerate. And now you're trying to make, yeah, huge lifestyle changes. Ugh.
Yeah. And I don't have the energy to like think of this food I'm going to eat and buy the food and prepare the food and like all of those things. But my practitioners were telling me like your gut is the same thing as your intestines, for those who don't know. Your intestines is where all of your food and your nutrients and everything is absorbed into your body and filtered and all of that. And so what happens, so my practitioners told me that your gut is your key to health. Your gut is your key to health. Okay, so this integrative health professional is the one. So now we're on the road to healing because I'm really, really learning. She put together a protocol for me to heal my gut. So when you have leaky gut,
is it leaking to?
Yeah. So I'm going to explain that.
Okay.
So it's your small intestine. And what happens is, and now the wall of your small intestine is one cell wide. I mean, that is all the barrier that you have between all, you know, your, all of this food and everything that's going through your system and getting processed through your small intestine, to the rest of the inside of your body. And so when it's unhealthy, and it could be unhealthy as a result of so many things, 30 to 40 years of bad eating, sugar, I mean, really the diet, like the American diet.
Terrible.
It really is terrible. And also toxins that we just accumulate, you know, as we're living. And So I did this stool sample and they found that I had this overgrowth of candida yeast. And your intestine has millions of, it's the microbiome.
Yeah.
You know? So there's millions of all kinds of good and bad bacteria that, and things that, you know, work, you know, they're supposed to be working together in harmony to digest your food and keep you healthy. But then that scale can be easily tipped to having an unhealthy gut. I had an overgrowth of candida yeast. I have no doubt it has to do with, you know, my sugar. American diet,
yeah.
Sugar, sugar, gluten. I mean, all the things.
Yes. People listen up. If you are prone to any kind of yeast, you're probably eating too much sugar because yeast loves sugar and carbs.
Yeast, yes. Yeast eats sugar. Like, that's its food.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what happens in leaky gut is you have, like, all of these bad things that are going on, and then it starts eating away at that one-cell barrier that is dividing your intestinal function and the rest of your body. So then, like, everything that's supposed to be going through your intestine is actually leaking out into your body because of these perforations. And that is what causes all of these crazy autoimmune symptoms.
So wouldn't you go septic if your bowel is leaking into your body? How does...
Well, okay, I don't know.
And I'm not a doctor either. I mean, I only know what I think I know, but...
I know. I mean, I am not a doctor. I'm just, you know, kind of just trying to give information for, like, my takeaways and the way that I understand it. Like, a doctor may, you know, explain it differently, and it's not. I really don't know. You know,
yeah. I don't know either. Just a question. I'm like, that sounds terrible. Yeah. Like, is it really? Because that's my question. Like, is it leaky gut? Is that really leaking into your body? Because that's terrifying.
It is. It is leaking into your body, and it's not necessarily your poop is leaking in. You know, because that goes through your large intestine. But all the bacteria, all the things, like all of that microbiome, good or bad, you know, should be contained in the intestine. And meanwhile, all this stuff is leaking into your body. And that's what's causing all these crazy symptoms. And that's really why, in my belief, in my view, why these things can't be diagnosed and fixed. So
they make you this protocol for how to fix your leaky gut. I'm super excited to hear what this is.
Yes. And so this is where people have to really, really listen up, because this is, I'm telling you, this was the hardest thing that I have ever done, but it was the most worthwhile thing I have ever done, because I am telling you right now, I did this protocol in 2020 and 2021, and also continued into 2022. It was forever. It's now 2024. And you are talking to somebody that has no symptoms, almost no symptoms. I don't have to plan my days. I don't have chronic fatigue. I just feel like a normal 46-year-old person.
And are you still taking all those medications?
I do not. I really don't take any medications. I'll tell you what I had to do. So I had to heal my gut. And so the protocol that I was put on was called an anti-candida, and it's called the AIP, autoimmune protocol diet. So I was on both of these protocols simultaneously. And so with anti-candida, you cannot eat anything that will feed yeast. No sugar, no flour, flour of any kind, like not even gluten-free flour.
Not even like almond flour or coconut flour? No. Okay.
Nothing. Like nothing like that. And nothing that will feed yeast. Alcohol, nothing. And I had to take a supplement called Olivirex, which is olive leaf.
Okay.
And that kills the candida. And then I took a supplement. It's charcoal.
Activated charcoal. And that, you can buy that over the counter. This is not like anything you got from your doctor, right? Same with the olive stuff.
You can just buy these things. The doctor that I work with, you know, their pharmacy, like you can get these things through their pharmacy, but it does not require a prescription. You can also find them on your own. But you want to make sure that you're taking like the really, really high quality potent stuff. Like you're not going to buy it in a grocery store. Or, you know what I mean? Like you have to get it from a special place. But the activated charcoal actually like grabs the bad stuff and removes it from your body. So I had to kill the candida and remove it from my body.
So now I just have to interrupt you, because I've taken activated charcoal before and your poop looks really funky. Did your poop look really funky when you're doing that stuff and cleaning out your gut?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The first time I saw my poop, I was like, what is wrong with me? And I'm like, oh, that's that charcoal, like pulling all that shit out, literally.
Yes. Yes. It's grabbing all that bad stuff and getting it out. And then with that, it can be very constipating, you know, so you have to drink lots and lots of water. Lots of water.
You need to make the slide slippery. Water on the water slide.
Yes. Yes. You don't want it to dry up. No. You want to get it out. That's the goal, is get it out, right? So there was that. And then, you know, it's like with the Olivirex, you have to work up, you know, like you start with one for a couple of days and then you add two and then blah, blah, blah. And then you add up to taking all of these many times a day. And so then there was that. And then there is the autoimmune, what is it? AIP, autoimmune protocol diet, which is essentially an elimination diet that you remove anything that could cause any inflammation or cause any symptoms or allergic reactions or whatever it is. So you are down to basics.
What are you eating? So, yeah. What are you eating at this point?
Yes. Okay. So, and this is the most challenging part about doing this, because I was so motivated to do it because I want to get better. But it's the, what can I eat? And I need the time to plan it and prepare it and all of that. And then, so basically for me, I mean, you're lean meat, you know, so like chicken or, you know, hamburger or whatever, lean meat, fresh vegetables. You can have Minnesota wild rice.
Really? Yummy.
Because Minnesota wild, like the real natural wild rice, is actually a grass, not a grain. So, which was amazing because it is filling, because chicken and vegetables by themselves are not especially filling. So, but anyway, I mean, I would eat like chicken, steamed vegetables, and wild rice all the time, or I would have like a cold salad. And so I would have like a hot salad or a cold salad.
Right.
And I would use an avocado, and for oils, it's avocado oil, coconut oil, and like a really pure extra virgin olive oil, or like the only oils that you can have. So like Primal Kitchen makes a really great olive oil or avocado oil based dressing. I was using that on my hot salad or my cold salad. But the secret, and then there's recipes you can find, and I made a couple things, and, you know, but it's like, it was just always easiest for me to just stick with what I know, but, you know, cause too, I want it to be easy. But yeah. And then whenever I would go somewhere, like I could not actually, it was COVID when I was first doing this. So like,
that kind of worked in your favor. Yeah.
It actually really, really did, because there is no way that you can go to a restaurant or go anywhere and eat anything. Like, you can't. It's impossible.
That's what's like, so hard about American diet. Like, it's so difficult to eat clean, I think. And maybe it's gotten better for you because you've been doing it for years. But if you're trying to start something new, like, it feels so defeating, because it's, if you leave your house, like, you face a lot of challenge.
Oh, 100%. And that is the hardest thing. So my secret is you always have to have food prepared in advance. Because the minute that you are hungry and you're destitute for food and you don't have the time or the wherewithal or the whatever to make it, you have to have that food ready. And that's why chicken and steamed vegetables and the wild rice worked great for me, because I would just make a whole bunch, you know, and then I would just have it in the fridge and I would just make sure that I was stocked. And of course you can put variations on, you know, that meat and vegetables, you know, but, and you have to bring your food with you everywhere you go. So if you're gonna, yeah, like for me, you know, I live way up north in Minnesota. I live 2 hours from Duluth, Minnesota, which is our big city. You know, so, you know, if I want to go to Walmart or something like that, I have to travel 2 hours to Duluth, and, you know, or like to the doctor or to wherever. So I bring a cooler with my hot salad and my cold salad and my dressing. And, you know, and it's hard because then my family is like, well, we want to stop, you know, we want to go here, we want to go there to a restaurant or fast food or whatever. And I just, you, you can't hold everybody else hostage to your diet. You know, it's right. like, this is, I'm doing this, I'm committed to this. And then just to say no. And like, while everybody else is eating that food around you, you know, you just have to be happy with your hot, boring salad.
So my question for you, Melissa, is I feel like whenever I've tried to do like a new diet, and there's times where I'm like, if I smell this one more time, I'm going to vomit. So when you're eating chicken and hot salad, cold salad and wild rice, like are you feeling that sensation of like, I can't eat this one more day? Or are you starting to feel better? And so then it's giving you motivation to stick with it.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both. For me, at the very beginning, I feel like my system was so sensitive and I was just so sick and just whatever that I really couldn't tolerate a lot anyway. So that really, really worked for me. But then, you know, as you go on and you start feeling better and you want to start eating other foods, but you can't, I mean, it takes so much willpower. And I remember, especially with the sugar, because
it's addicting.
As Americans, it is. Americans, we are all addicted to sugar. Everything we buy has sugar, added sugar, everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, my mantra was like, my priority was killing the candida, because all of this work and all of this stuff that I'm doing and like, you know, all of these like super expensive supplements and, you know, this whole protocol, I was like, I am not going to sabotage it. I am doing this. And I remember like, I would even be like literally saying out loud, kill the candida, like that is my priority. Like, I don't need that cookie or whatever. But I will tell you, there's a plant-based sugar replacement called monk fruit.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. I've had it too. Yeah.
And it's a one-to-one sugar replacement. It's plant-based. It does not register on the glycemic index. So I could have that. Even with the candida diet thing, I could have that. So when I got to a point where I wanted something sweet, I would dump out some monk fruit, which is just like sugar, little granules, and mix it with some cinnamon, and I would like dip my finger in it.
And honestly, if you are looking for a sugar replacement, that is a really good option, because there's things like, and I don't know about the glycemic index, but like the stevia they have, and they have all these other ones, but that monk fruit is legit. So if you're looking for something that seriously like is close to sugar, that's not sugar, that's a, or whatever, low on the the glycemic index, that's worth the money. Because I've spent a lot of money on things trying and failing, and that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then, and it's plant-based, you know, so it's not, you know, highly processed and all of that. And it does work. You know, the other thing, like speaking about sugar and sugar addiction is, so here's a little story, you know, so I did this for, you know, several months. I mean, overall, I did it for a really, really long time. But at this part in my journey, I had been doing it for several months. You know, I was feeling better. And then we went on a little vacation. It was like a camping vacation. And I, you know, treated myself with some chocolates or, you know, whatever. And I found that I started binging, like totally binging on sugar. Like I literally made myself sick because I binged on sugar. And it was like, you can't help it. I mean, I was like a cocaine addict. And then like after that, I literally was sick on the couch and I was feeling so miserable and so guilty and so sad and so mad at myself. Like I ruined all this work that I did and I ruined it. And oh, and then you're just
eater's remorse.
Yourself.
I feel, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really hard. And I actually, that was a roller coaster that I rode several times, you know, of the, I'm quitting. I'm not going to let this happen again. And then you binge and then you binge and then you binge and it's just, it's really a vicious cycle. So that could be, you know, so if you want to go on this journey, you know, that is something that you may experience. But it's okay. Like, it's like, you just have to learn from your mistakes. You're going to make mistakes and you have to learn from them and you just have to do the best that you can. And it's not going to be perfect, you know? So that, like, wrapping your head around that, you know, is, and then the other thing with food and sugar and all this kind of stuff, like, until you have to cut all that out, you don't realize how much food is wrapped into everything, like our social, our holidays, our emotions, our moods, our relationships. Like, there's so much to it. So, I mean, in my opinion, like, doing any kind of like significant diet change or whatever is so hard for all of those reasons. But I am telling you, like I said a few minutes ago, I have benefited so much from all of that hard work. Like, I just feel like I don't even think about having lupus. I don't think about chronic fatigue. Like, I don't think about, oh, if I want to go do this, like, if I want to do these two things today, I can't. I only have to choose one or none. I don't even think about those things. So it's just, it is so, so worth all the hard work, especially if you're sick and you want to get better. I mean, it, you know, talk about getting to the root of the problem. For me and my autoimmune journey, healing my gut was really the key for me to be able to live well.
So now have you introduced more food back into your diet?
Yes. So after, you know, doing those protocols for so long, and I probably, I did them for at least really hardcore for, oh, probably 6 to 9 months. And then I was able to only be on the anti-inflammatory diet, which is no gluten, corn, sugar, or dairy. So compared to what I was doing, like, that was easy.
I bet. And then also, like, did you lose a lot of weight when you were doing that diet?
You know, I never, I've always been like at my weight, you know, that I am. I've never been overweight or, well, plus too, like, I wasn't eating much anyway because I had no appetite and things like that. But, I would say that if you were overweight, even a little, you will lose weight. That wasn't really one of my things. Okay. Though. But I mean, you naturally would. I mean, you naturally would. There was something else I was going to say back to one of your questions. What can I eat now?
Yeah,
or like,
yeah,
okay,
reintroducing.
So I went. Yep. So so then I just continued on the anti-inflammatory diet of no gluten, corn, sugar, or dairy. Then I was feeling like some weird, like, I don't have an appetite symptoms anymore. And I was associating that with the candida. So I did another round of the anti-candida diet protocol with the olive leaf and the activated charcoal thing for maybe 12 or 13 weeks. And then again, I went back to the anti-inflammatory only. And then I started feeling really a lot better and a lot more normal. And then I started like, maybe I will just have this frozen pizza, or we'll get something at McDonald's, or we'll go out to a restaurant, or, I mean, and not big time, you know, but just treat it like allowing myself, like, I did find that I did have more tolerance for foods outside of the diet. It is a cumulative thing. So, for example, if I just had like one bad meal, I really wouldn't have any symptoms or anything as a result of that. But then, you know, you get into trouble when you're like, oh, I feel good. I'll just have this, or I'll just have that. And then I'll have that. And then I'll have that. It accumulates. And then you're like, ooh, and then you can feel it. And you're like, oh, I've got to cut it back. And now 4 years into this or whatever, I'm just always like, I'm always trying to maintain the anti-inflammatory diet. I give myself a lot more leeway. But I'm hyper aware of like how my body is feeling, how my gut is feeling, like all of these things. And now I'm not fully on the diet. I'm mostly on, but not fully on. And I can tell, like, when I was really, really on that diet, I had never felt better, you know? So, you know, I can tell, but I'm fully functional. I'm not having crazy symptoms and stuff like I was. And, you know, just trying to maintain that diet as much as possible while giving myself, you know, as much leeway as I think I can. And then cutting back when I feel like I need to, and just really eating intuitively as well.
Just being mindful too, and self-aware of your body.
Right, right. And just the need that I have to plan, and I have, you know, prepare the food, and sometimes, most of the time, bring food with me and things like that.
Do you ever get lupus flare-ups?
You know, I haven't. I mean, you know, I really have not had any flare-ups or anything like that. I still do, you know, the Raynaud's phenomenon or disease, or it's called both. You know, I do still have that. I think I've always had that, and I probably always will. I will say that on one hand, it's not as bad as it was, but then on the other hand, I know now how to manage it better and what to expect out of it. But I don't find it as debilitating as I once did.
Yeah, I know. I think that it's hard to retrain our bodies and our mind to eat different or better, but I mean, the proof is it's just right in front of your eyes that how much it does make you feel better or heals or reverses disease and illness. It's just crazy. I watched the show on Netflix not that long ago, and it was called Poisoned, and it was all about like the microbiome of your gut, and it was just crazy. I mean, it was eye-opening.
It's very eye-opening. And, you know, like I said too before, you know, my alternative practitioners were always like, you know, your diet, you know, and my chiropractor, you know, tried to put me on a couple of diets. And part of it was I just didn't really believe that it would work. You know, like I part of me just didn't really believe it. But I do know now. Like I have this lived experience to share that, I mean, it is everything. It is really, really everything.
I think it's hard too, like someone like yourself who's kind of maintained a healthy weight your whole life. Like on the outside, we think that we look healthy or appear healthy, or we're not overweight or we're not obese, so we're fine. And I even remember when McCoy was little and he was just the pickiest eater in the world, my son. And so like he was really like a mac and cheese and chicken nugget kid, and, like couldn't get him to eat much more. And I remember telling his pediatrician, like, but he looks healthy. And he goes, yeah, but you can't see what his cholesterol looks like in his body. You can't see what his cells look like. You can't see all these things that are inside. So that's very deceptive. And what he's doing as a little kid, like, can affect his adult life. But we just don't think that because we don't see it.
That is so true. And, you know, especially like, you know, these things don't catch up to us until later, you know, because we've spent our whole lives doing this damage without realizing that we're doing damage, you know, and I'm speaking, you know, to your gut health, you know, specifically. I'm sure there's millions of other ways we can do damage to our bodies without realizing it, but, you know, Yeah, and you know, for me, I didn't start that gut health protocol until I was about like maybe 42 years old or something like that. You know, and it's just
because I had a long time.
And I had a lifetime of, like I said before, eating bad food and all of these things, and it accumulates. It just accumulates. And then I think it is a barrier, like not believing that just changing my diet will make me feel better. Cause the other thing is that it's very hard. Like we've been talking about this whole time. It's just very, very hard on so many levels. But I am telling you, if you have help, and I do recommend taking certain supplements and, you know, working with like a functional medicine doctor or practitioner or whatever, and that can help you through this, and give you the right tools and stuff like that. I mean, my lived experience has been, you know, absolutely incredible. You know, like I said, it is honestly the hardest thing I ever did.
Our culture makes it so tough. You know, that's the sad thing, is it's just the world that we live in. I know I wanted to circle back on one of your stories about like when you were packing your chicken and your salads and your family's like, I want to go out to eat or whatever. I wanted to lose weight, right? So I started this new diet and I was just really trying to cut back and like be mindful, like I'm full, I'm not going to keep eating, or I'm not going to sugar binge on all this candy that I love and all just whatever. And it was really a struggle on my family because that's what our social life as a family was. Like, let's go out to eat. Let's stop and get ice cream. Let's whatever, whatever. And then, you know, my family's like, your diet sucks. We can't do anything together. And I'm like, we can do plenty together. I just don't want to go out to eat. Or we can go out to eat and it's fine. I can order whatever. And when I'm full and I can bring it home and I'll eat it for 4 more days. I'm fine with that. Or if I'm sick of it, I'll throw it in the garbage, because I just grew up with a family that was like, you eat everything on your plate. There's people starving in America. Well, just because there's people starving in America doesn't mean I need to be obese. I mean, I wish I could give it to them, but I can't. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a challenge on our family, just adapting to a different lifestyle and being supportive of one another and trying to find other things to do than go out to eat.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I mean, our culture and our fun, you know, like we attribute so much fun and love to food and sugar and going out to eat, and you attribute like good emotions with all of those things as well. And the other, I mean, and sugar does produce dopamine in your body. So, yeah. I mean, there is that physiological, like that effect is real. Like it does boost your mood and it does, you know, so, and that's part of the, that's another layer of the challenge, is because it is like chemically addicting. But yeah, I mean, it's like Hal said, like, you know, my family, oh, let's go out for ice cream. Yeah, and then it's like so sad. I'm like, oh, we can't go out for ice cream anymore. That's so sad, you know. And you know, so you just kind of reframe that, you know. Or maybe, like, you know, maybe you go to ice cream, but maybe you just don't have any, or maybe you have something else, or maybe
you share a cup, or, you know, there's ways to kind of, you don't have, I mean, for you, maybe cold turkey was the way with your lupus, but for people that are just trying to be healthier in general, I mean, you can take baby steps and you do control what you put in your mouth. I mean,
yes. You know, and in a way, I think, because I've thought about this before, you know, because like I changed my diet to like to become healthy. But and that's why most people do it, right? Whether it's like to lose weight. I mean, a lot of people, I think most of the population is like, well, I'm going to change my eating so I can lose weight. And I have tried that. And like I said before, weight has never been a big issue for me, you know, although I can't say that I have never dealt with it. You know what I mean? So And it is hard. Like, but I like there's changing your diet to lose weight, and then there's changing your diet because you're so sick you can't function, which is where I was. And I think it was a little bit easy. I felt much more motivated.
Right.
Because being able to function is much more important than just needing to lose weight. Although, they both really are important, but.
And for you, too, like when you're changing your eating, you're starting to feel better. When somebody is trying to lose weight and change their diet because they want to lose weight, like, let's be real, like, we just feel bitchy and pissed.
Absolutely. I know. And then you feel deprived and you feel, you know, and then you have these cravings and then you want to, like, get together with your friends and do the things that are usually involve food. And that it's so hard to say no to that. You know, it's so hard, you know, but you really do, you know, whether or not you're like physically in pain like I was, or you just want to be more healthy. And the thing is that, like, you know, even if you quote unquote just want to lose weight, you know, I'm not trying to minimize that at all, you know, because it is very hard. I mean, you could be even experiencing negative health effects that you're not even consciously realizing,
right,
until you start a new diet lifestyle, and then you realize how good you can really feel.
And there's so many things that people aren't even thinking about. Like, okay, like think about what brought on, like not what didn't bring it on, but what helped control your lupus. Okay, well, if you're diabetic and you change your diet, that's going to make that better. If you have high blood pressure and you change your diet, that can make that better. And same with high cholesterol and, you know, even like people who get yeast infections all the time. I mean, there's a lot of things that you're not thinking, like, this is might be probably is what I'm putting in my body that's making my body upset and acting this way.
Right. And energy levels.
Huge.
Energy levels is a huge thing. Huge. I think we don't realize how much energy we really could have if we were eating a clean diet.
Yeah. All right, Melissa, is there anything else that you would like to share before we wrap this up?
Oh, gosh. No, I mean, just again that I know that this is something that a lot of people deal with, and, you know, and it is real, and it is really, really challenging, you know, but to an extent, I mean, I think that you can take your health into your own control. And whether it's autoimmune disease or like diabetes or pre-diabetes or whatever, you know, we can't lose sight of the fact that there is a lot that we have control of, and a lot of doctors are not, you know, and I don't want to just put a blanket statement over this or whatever, but, you know, in my experience, I'll say, you know, a lot of doctors, they just want to like give you a medication for it or give you a diagnosis and then give you medication that will make it better. Well, that, I mean, you have to really find the root of the problem. And I can really, really go back to diet, and a lot of like mainstream doctors, they just don't focus on that. And you have to find a doctor or a practitioner that knows about that and believes it and focuses on that. I mean, it took me many, many years to find that person. And I just cannot recommend that enough. I mean, take your healing and your wellness into your own hands and find the root cause of your problem and find the doctor or the practitioner that can help you get there. Because if what you're doing now isn't working, if that pill isn't working, if all these pills you're taking are just creating more problems, you know, that doesn't have to be the solution. So that's just what I would say. And stay positive and tell yourself, you know, there is a day that I will feel good again. There is one day that I will feel good again. It will happen. I mean, you have to keep your mind open to that possibility, which is really, really hard when you're very sick.
And I think, like what we talked about a lot too, is you have to also be very motivated to make some really big, hard changes. Because that is a really hard part that is on you as the patient and the person.
Yes. And it is in your control and you do have a choice. And sometimes it's hard. Like, it's just hard. It's just, it's taking a hard path. But if you want to live well, and if you want to be healthy, and if you want to fully function in your body and feel good, I believe that you can do it. I just believe you can do it.
Well, if seeing is believing, that's you. I mean, you're here in front of us telling us the road that you went on. And like you said, you could barely get out of bed and here you are. Like, really? I had this diagnosis? Because I feel great. That's lovely. I love it.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right, Melissa, as always, it is a joy to see your smiling face and have you on the podcast. And, you know, down the road, I'm sure that we can find something else to talk about because it seems real easy to chat with you.
Well, thank you, Kelly. This is so much fun. And I really appreciate you having me on and letting me share my story.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I love to bring light to these situations because I think that a lot of people do feel alone or not validated, not heard, and, you know, just need some reassurance and some hope.
Absolutely.
All right. You have a good night.
Thanks, Kelly.
Talk about?
No, I just need to pull it out.
But as always, I would like to remind you that we are so thankful that you have continued to listen to our show. Our podcast is growing in ways that I have not even imagined. And so thank you. We couldn't be successful without you listening and telling all your friends about us. So thank you for supporting the show. If this is your first time listening and you're like, this show is great, how can I support the show? Well, let me tell you, you can subscribe, share, like, listen to our podcast, any social media that you see, please like everything. The more things that you like, I know there's a lot of secret scrollers and creepers on Facebook and Instagram. But honestly, the more you like it and share it, the more that helps us from a financial standpoint. So that's free for you to do, but it is so helpful for us. I'm just being really transparent about that. If you have a little extra money in your pocket and you are feeling giving, you can do Buy Me a Coffee. You can support us on Buzzsprout or through Venmo. All of our links are in our link tree, and you can find that on all of our social media posts. Also, we are currently looking for guests to come on our podcast. So do you have a story that you would love to tell? Is there something that you're really passionate about that you want to share? Maybe you're a business owner and you want to talk about your business and what it stands for and what it does and where it's located, and we can kind of give you some promo there. And if you want to advertise, we're open to that too. So you can shoot us a DM or email us. Otherwise, Mackie, are you ready to continue your driver's education here on the show?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
Oh, great.
So I'm going to show you a photo. And don't worry, everybody. I'm going to post this photo on our social media so that you can see what I'm showing him. But I'm going to show you a sign.
I'm not sure what the sign means because I don't know what any sign means here.
Well, I'm going to show you a picture of the sign and then I'm going to ask you what it means.
All right, can I see it?
So what does this sign mean?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Does it mean a construction zone is ahead? There's a narrow bridge ahead? A divider ahead?
What is a divider?
Or a snowplow?
Okay, it's not the bottom one.
Okay, good job. It's not the bottom one. I'll give you that.
What does the next one have above it say?
A divider.
Ooh. I don't think it's a construction zone.
Okay, good. It's not.
And what's the one in the middle?
A narrow bridge ahead.
Oh, this one's tough. Like, it could be that. I'm going to go with that.
A narrow bridge ahead?
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing. You're correct. Good job. You got it. I don't even know what a divider means in road logistics. So good job. Good guess. Good guess. Do you have a would you rather for me today?
Oh, shoot. Wait, I got to get that up. My phone turned off.
It's getting hot in here. I'm ready. I've been ready. I was born ready.
Visit the doctor or visit the dentist?
Routine.
Yes, routine.
Doctor. I hate the dentist.
Really?
Yeah. What about you?
I want to go to the dentist because it's faster.
You think
so? And it's not even that bad either.
You don't mind when they're like
No.
Cranking on your teeth?
No, it's not that bad.
Ugh, I hate it. All right, all right, all right, all right.
Cranking on your teeth.
Yeah, they're like scraping all that. It hurts. I don't like it.
What?
What? Oh, I can't find my joke, Mackie. I thought I saved it. Oh, here it is. I found it. Are you ready? It's really funny.
Would you rather take a poop in public or take a pee in public?
Pee. I don't want to poop ever.
Yeah, I know. Let that was alone. Just a random thing I just felt like saying.
Gross. Sorry. All right. Ready for a funny joke? Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Did you hear about the guy who dipped his testicles in glitter?
I don't even want to know.
Pretty nuts. Get it?
Yes.
You guys, thank you for listening to another episode of On Our Best Behavior. We'll be back next week. Don't miss us too much.
We might not come back again. You never know.
Yeah, send us all your money or we won't be back.
Thank you for listening to another episode of On Our Best Behavior. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to get your sticker for $5. Venmo and DM us your address to receive. Also, you can follow us on all social media platforms. You can email us with any questions or contents, or if you want to be a guest on our podcast at onourbestbehavior@yahoo.com. We are on Instagram at @onour_bestbehavior. You can follow us on TikTok and Facebook at @onourbestbehavior. I'm on Twitter at @podcastkelly. You can follow Mackie, Matt McCoy, on Xbox at @0blitches, or he's on Snapchat at @macdog_021. Have a great day.